This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father, that we can come to you and that we can listen as a child to you. And the children are going to leave now as well, Father, and they're also going to listen to what Gerda is going to share with them. And I pray, Father, that even if it's small or if it's larger, we are all important for you, that you're going to speak to us, and that our hearts are going to be open to receive from you, Father, that we can set aside the things which kept us busy during the week, or maybe this morning, or on the way over here, or even something that we've been listening to just now before we entered over here, that we can set it aside, that we can focus on you, that we can prepare with the songs as well, that we basically came to you, Father, that we prepared ourselves, that we praised your name, we exalted your name. We come as children of yours to listen to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I see the people are all scattered at the outside. Nobody is sitting around here. They are afraid that I'm asking difficult questions. But I'm starting with a difficult question. You can read the question up there. What do you do when you walk into a dark area? Discuss it with your neighbor. I like it when the people are starting to talk. But I think the answer is very easy. You switch on the light. Am I correct? And sometimes it's a normal switch. Sometimes it's a dimmer switch. And nowadays they've got fancy things on your phone as well that you can all control from your phone. You can control everything. You can even see what's in your fridge and so on and so on. It's all possible. Later on, I'm going to come back again to that question. Because God wants to speak to us about light today, about His light. But the light what God is talking about is different than the light what we use to light up a place as we walk in. Both of them are going to give us a view of what's happening actually around us. Both of us are going to show things, but it's different. The one is in the spiritual, and the other one is going to be in the material. Light started with God. If we take the book, the Bible, and if we take a look at the first Genesis, and we take Genesis 1, where did God start with? With light. He must probably also switched on the light that he first wanted to see where he's going to work now, because it says it was a mess. So yes, you switch on the light and you see, okay, this is what's there. And then he started speaking. And then he said in Genesis 1, 3 and 4, then God said, let there be light. And it was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And then the day of the light period he called day, and the night period he called, of the dark period he called night. And a word over there, what has been used is a Hebrew word, or. More or less the same as what we know, the or word for gold in other languages. If we go a few verses further, we go to Genesis 1 verses 14, God is talking about light again. But then it's not or, but then the word changes to ma-or. Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons and for the days and the years. It was day 4 when he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. But there's a difference between the or and the ma-or. The or is the light. It's maybe by accident that we've got light today, that the sun is shining. Normally, the sun doesn't shine that much in the Netherlands. You know, yes, it's night or it's day. You can see it. And that's the one where God has been talking about in the third and the fourth verse. But if you go to 14, then he's talking about the sun, the moon, and the star, which they are called the Ma'or, which are the luminars. So which means that they are shining light, like the sun, but they're also reflecting light, like the moon and the stars. So they are, yeah, they are, it's a different one. In English, it's exactly the same, light, light. You don't know the difference. We've got to go back to the Hebrew to see what is the differences. And I was, yeah, quite impressed with the amount of light and the amount of scriptures which are in the Bible, which are referring to light, but which are not the same. Each and every time, it's another Hebrew or another Greek word, but you will hear a few of them as I'm going through the sermon. So what's happening there is that the sun is then shining the light, and the moon is reflecting the light. In Dutch, we've got a saying, roze geur en maneschijn. But it's actually not correct, because the moon is not shining. In English, and I just have got to have a look and see where did I write it down, rose scent and moonshine. The moon is not shining. The moon is just reflecting the light. So it's actually an incorrect word over there. But we've got quite a few of them, because we also say that the sun is coming up. The sun is not coming up. It's the earth turning around. That's actually what's happening. But anyway, that's not where we are here for now. But when I was busy with it, I actually was so, I became quiet, because the Lord showed me that sometimes I'm praying for people, and I say that you may reflect the light, that you may reflect the goodness, that you may reflect the glory of God. And I thought, it's a very good prayer, but it's actually not correct. But we'll come to it as we go through the sermon, because we are not reflecting something what God is shining on us. We are actually reflecting the light what God is giving to us. I'll elaborate a little bit later on it. So God is talking about Genesis, he's talking about the light. And in the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelations, he's talking about light again. But then it's talking about his presence. And he says in Revelations 22, verses 5, there shall be no night there in a new heaven, in a new earth, the new Jerusalem. So we don't need any time anymore. There's no day-night switches. We don't have solar energy, anything, those type of things. We don't need it anymore. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The presence of God is the light, is creating the light over there. Difficult for us to understand. We still want to go back to that switch type of thing, and it must come from something. It's coming from God. His presence is light over there. Now I'm going to talk about God is light, Jesus is light, the Holy Spirit is light, and yes, then we're coming to the last one, or we light. And I'm going to go them one by one, and we should be finished before it's getting dark. God is light. His presence is light. In John, it's a beautiful verse, what he says over there, that God is light, in 1 John 1, verses 5. This is the message which we've heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him, no darkness at all. There's no darkness, it's just light. This is what we can see from God, just light. The word which is used over there is force, which is a Greek word, which means that even it has got fire in it, light. So it means that it's a very high source of light, that one. If we ask Saul on his road to Damascus, he most probably can agree with it. When he was visited by Jesus, he also saw a light, reflecting that Jesus and God is light. David was also talking about light, where he says in Psalm 109, of 119, verse 105, where he says, your word is a light on my road, a light on my path. And when Jesus was crucified, it also shows that God is in control of the light. Because something very strange happened over there, and that is that the whole world became dark for 3 hours. And what happened there? God was not present there anymore. Because Jesus asked, Matthew 24, in about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? For 3 hours, from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, which means it's from noon to 3 o'clock, it was dark. There was no light. The presence of God was not there anymore. God's light wasn't there anymore. And yes, there are people who say, it's possible that there was a solar eclipse or anything like that. No. Because it was Passover. And Passover is always with full moon. And a solar eclipse is always with a new moon. And if you read that, and if you see how great and how awesome God is, that he can put whole earth in darkness for 3 hours. Because he moved his presence away. And Jesus experienced that. And he could say that. I'm staying in Zeist, what you've seen on the announcement as well. And in Zeist, we've got a group which call themselves the Herrenhütters. And what they do is, when they've got a funeral, they start a funeral service at 2:30 in the afternoon. That during the service, they go past the 3 o'clock hour in the afternoon, because that's the time when Jesus died. So each and every funeral, by that specific time, they remind themselves again that Jesus died at that time. And we can try to manipulate the light. I've been out of the country for quite a few years, and I've seen that in, let's say, the 35 to 40 years, that the whole of the Netherlands moved on 1 hour. So in the morning, instead of 7 o'clock, it's actually now 8 o'clock. And where the people normally at 10 o'clock would go to bed, they go to bed now at 11 o'clock. So they moved from the light to the darkness, if I can put it like that. Don't shoot me, please. But what I'm trying to say over there is we're trying to manipulate it, but we cannot control it. There are farmers over there who have got flowers. They switch on lights. They put on globes. They create additional daylight for the flowers to grow, to extend the time what they are growing. Poor flower. They've got to grow, instead of that they only have got to grow, let's say, 8 or 9 hours, now they've got to grow 12 hours, that they can just increase the capacity. Again, people are trying to manipulate the light, but we cannot control the light. God is light. Jesus is also light. And he's saying that with his statement, what he makes in John, where he says, I am the light. He's got 7 I am statements, what Jesus is talking about in the John. And we see those I am statements of the 7, we see it back again also with the 7 churches in Revelation. So we see that John is continuously talking about 7, perfect number. And what he's doing over there, Jesus is saying, I am. And when he says, I am, he's referring the Jewish people to what God said to Moses when they asked him, what am I going to say? Who has sent me? And God said to Moses, Exodus 3 verses 14, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Can you imagine that Jesus is standing there and he's saying to the people, I am, these Jewish people, because they didn't have the Old and the New Testament, they only had the Old Testament. So they must have read it, I should say, quite often. So they knew exactly what's written over there, what has been said to Moses, that they could also hear there that God, that Jesus was coming from God. I am, Jesus said. And that he said in John 8 verses 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He doesn't try to hide it or anything like that. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We've got a word life is connected up to light now. Where we can see just now where we saw the presence of God connected up to light, we see now the word life being connected up to the word light. And it's eternal life where he's talking about. In the beginning of John as well, in John 1 verses 4 and 5, he's also talking about life and light. In him was life, it's Jesus then. And the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot be stronger than the light. That is something also fascinating what God has made. Because yes, it can be dark, but a very small light in the darkness, you can see that. And you can try and bring as much darkness as what you want to, the light is still going to be there. Jesus spoke to his disciples at John 12, 35 and 36, and Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. A little while longer, the light," because he said, "I am the light, I am with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." Again, we see that they can become sons, that we can call the Creator of heaven and earth, that we can call him Father, that you can become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. It means he left. And he left his disciples over there. And they must probably thought about it. They must probably spoke to each other about it, about this whole light. But we can see different stages over there. What Jesus is saying. He's saying, believe in the light. Receive the light. Become the light. And then shine the light. Radiate the light. Illuminate the area around you. And illuminating is not only meaning that you're going to light up the area around you, but that you are going to have an effect on yourself as well. Blessing just now said that she added, obviously, attended Encounter 2 yesterday, and there are some other people over here as well who facilitated. Those who facilitated were shining and shining God's light over there, but they also were fed as they were facilitating over there. And this is what's happening when we are shining God's light. It's going to help us as well. The third one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is light. No, there's not a verse in the Bible which says that the Holy Spirit is the light. But the Holy Spirit has got to be the light. Because if the Father is the light, and if the Son is the light, and the three of them are Trinity, then the Holy Spirit must be light. There's no other option. I won't say that I've read through the Bible just to double check to see if there's a verse, but I couldn't find any verse confirming that. Yes, I Googled, but I couldn't find it. And I also looked at others, but it wasn't there. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is light, but the Holy Spirit is light. I'm sure about it. Because the Holy Spirit is actually part of the Trinity which is given to us, then it must be light. And that gives us light. Now we come with the last one. And we, or we light? Are we supposed to be light? Can we be light? How can we be light? Can we be a small light? Or can we be a huge light? 5 lumen or 2,000 lumen? I'm not quite sure if that's a terminology, if that's correct or not. But can we be light? Jesus tells us that we've got to be the light. We've got to be the light in this world. When he was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he said there had to be two things, salt and light. We've got to be light. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world." This is what he said to the people. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Majority of the cities were built on a hill so that it was difficult for the enemy to attack it. But it also means that there's also a possibility that they referred to this like that because Jesus was sitting on the mount, that it was visible. He was not hiding it. Whichever way we're going to have a look at it, but if there's a light, it cannot be hidden. Nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. In these two verses, we had four times we had the word light, the English word light. But each and every, and three of them are different. It's only the first and the last one which is correct, that you are of is correct, is the one where we're talking about you are the light. Where it says, nor do you light a lamp, nor do you ignite a lamp. So that's another Hebrew, Greek word again, sorry, for light. And where it says then, and it gives light to all who are in the house. It's interesting, the Greek word over there is lampo. And we all know the word lamp. So they already had something like that in that time. But where it is talking about the light, that we've got to be something which is radiating the light. But what have we got to do if we've got to shine the light? If this is the instruction that Jesus has given to us, we've got to become the light. Must we drink a certain fuel or must we plug in into an adapter or what must we do? What's God saying to us? And then I want to go back to that verse which I just now read in John 12, verses 35. We've got to believe in the light. We've got to receive the light. We've got to become the light. And then we've got to shine, we've got to radiate, we've got to illuminate that light for the people around us, but also for ourselves. Because if we're busy with God's kingdom, it's strengthening us and God is showing us things which are important. All we're shining is light in this world. All we. Or is there maybe something which is blocking us, that we're not shining the light? Is there something which should happen first before we can shine the light? And I'll say yes. We have got to look at the things and see, okay, what is there which is blocking the light? What is there which is stopping us from being what God wants us to be? The very, very first one is, if we haven't got a relationship with God, we haven't got a relationship with the source of light. We cannot receive the light and we cannot give the light. We cannot radiate the light. So that's the most important one, that we should have a living relationship with the God, that we can believe, that we can receive, and that we can become. But sometimes it's also that we are blocking the light. Yeah, we are blocking ourselves. We're standing in our own light. We're blocking God's light. We are supposed to do things, then we are not doing things. God is telling us to do certain things, and then we stay away from it. And then we are not being the light what God wants us to be. Because the world around us is dark enough. There's no question about it. You can see the light over here. There's no question about it that the world around us is dark. And God wants us, that we should shine His light in this world. This is what He's asking us. Today is the 24th of October. Next week is the 31st of October. The 31st of October is the first highest satanic holiday. Satanists have got on that day with Halloween the highest holiday, festival, the feast, what they're celebrating next week. And I'm really asking you, if there's anything what you've got of Halloween in your house, chuck it away, throw it away. It hasn't got anything to do with God. Nothing to do with God. We've got to be very careful with that. The next day, the 1st of November, the Catholics are reminding the saints. Again, that's not in the Bible. We've got to be very careful where are we spending our time. But specifically next week, Sunday. I know that in Utrecht, there are people praying the whole week. And then the day before and the day after, they pray 24 hours. Just to make sure, to try and combat what the enemy is trying to do, because he's busy at that day. The darkness is trying to overtake. But that's where we can shine the light. I want to finish off with a verse out of Isaiah. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. In the Old Testament, it's already spoken about the light, how important the light is, and that we've got to be the light. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you." Your light has come. Who's that light? Jesus. Jesus is the light. Isaiah is referring to Jesus is going to come. "For behold," verse 2, "the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you." We see darkness outside, and we sometimes wonder where it is going. But as Isaiah is giving that promise to the Jewish people at that time, he's giving us the promise as well. God is with us. He's seeing us, although we are in a dark area. And then verse 3 has got a promise. "The Gentiles shall come to your light," which shows that the people have got light. They've got light. They are reflecting the light. This is why the Gentiles are coming. They're asking, "But what is it? Why do you have that light? Why can you have a smile on your face with this economy, with the train which is late, which whatever," and you can just fill it in. And this is what God is saying to us. Your light, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. In this three verses as well, three times we get a word, rise, arise, or rising, which is showing that something new is going to come. A new day is going to come. A new season is going to come for the Jewish people. There's an expectation and they're looking forward to it. But most important, like I said, the light. That's where it is going about. Your light has come and you shall show your light to other people. And now you're most probably going to ask, but how am I going to shine light? How am I going to do it? Because this is always the practical guy, the practical part. And I feel that God is saying to us, we've got to pray and we've got to ask God. We've got to go to the source of light, to God, and we've got to communicate with Him. We've got to speak to Him and we've got to ask Him, "Lord, where do you want me that I should shine my light?" We've got to be in a communication continuously with God. I am, maybe I can say, a little bit privileged on the one side that my wife is not here at the moment, so I'm on my own at home, and I can talk and walk, and I can switch on any music I want to, and all those type of things. But I experience that it is easier for me to speak to God. Not to say that Renee is hindering me or that she's blocking me to speak to God, but it makes it easier. You've got a freedom. You communicate more with God. And I experienced it as I was inside and I just went for a walk yesterday and I think on Thursday as well. I experienced the same. It was easier for me just outside as well to walk around and communicate with God and be in a communication with God, because God is not only for a Sunday that we come here for a service, that it isn't entertainment or anything like that. No, this is a relationship, a deep relationship what God wants to have with us. And when we pray and when we speak to God, then we've got to ask Him, "Lord, where do you want me that I should shine my light?" You get to many different places. But then ask God, where do you want me that I should shine my light? Is it maybe at your work? Is it maybe in the street? Is it maybe with your neighbors? Is it maybe with somebody whom you're studying? I don't know. But that we ask him and prepare ourselves for it, and that we also, when he speaks to us, or if the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that we can reflect that light, that we can talk about God, that we can talk about Jesus, that we can talk about the Holy Spirit. Because we've got to invite God in our whole life. That God is going to be continuously with us, that we are aware that God is continuously with us, and that we can continuously be shining, not reflecting. I've got to be careful with that word because the Lord told me I'm using the wrong word over there, but that we can shine God's word, God's light, that we can shine it to the people around us. And now I'm coming back to the question which I asked in the beginning. What do you do when you walk into a dark area? And now I'm asking the question on a spiritual level. What do you do when you walk into a spiritual dark area? The world outside spiritually is dark, but we've got to shine. We've got to show God's love to the people around us. We've got to shine His light, and we've got to shine God's light, which is in us. When I was busy with this sermon, I got a picture of a hole. It was with bricks, it was built, it was quite deep. It was dark inside, and you could see at the side there were steps so you could climb out if it was necessary. And there was a person inside that hole, and don't ask me if it's male or female, so it could be for more people, I don't know. But a person said, I'm in a deep hole, I'm in a dark place, I want to get out of here. But at the top of the hole, there's the opening. So there's the light. And I feel that God is saying to that person, and I don't know if the person is here or maybe watching afterwards, that God is saying, it's you who has got to climb out of that hole yourself. God has given you responsibility and authority. And God has given us a lot of things. And it's very easy to go and pray and say, Lord, get me out of this dark hole. But you've got to start. You've got to start climbing out of the dark hole. I don't know who it is. I don't know if there's anyone like that. If you want to pray with it, I'll be available after the sermon and I can pray with it. But if there's such a person, get out of that hole. But you can do it yourself. You've got to climb out. You've got to climb to the light. You've got to look up that you can see God and that you can climb out of that hole. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are light, that Jesus is light, that the Holy Spirit is light, and that you want us to be light in this world, in this dark world. And Father, that you want to equip us, I nearly want to say, that we can believe it, that we can receive it, that we can absorb it, and that we can radiate it out, Father. But it can only happen if we are in a living relationship with you, Father, if we are spending time with you, and if we are prepared to spend time with you. And Father, as all eyes are closed at the moment, if there's anyone of you who says, yes, you're talking about that light, but I haven't got any connection with God because I've never accepted God as my Lord and Father, Jesus Christ as my Savior, or the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel that you've got to make that decision now, that you can start that relationship with God, that you can receive, that you can believe, that you can also shine. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking you to this afternoon, that you've got to make that decision, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that I also can pray for each and every one, specifically for the spirit of discernment. if they walk into an area, if they come into a situation where the enemy is trying to, I should say, to take over that area, that through the spirit of discernment, they immediately can recognize it, and that they also can act accordingly, that they can shine your light in that place over there, Father. I pray that you will bless each and every one over here with that spirit of discernment, which is so needed in this spiritual dark world around us. Thank you, Father. We can shine your light in this world, that your kingdom can come. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not quite sure if the Facebook people are following us, but if they are, then I'm going to say bye to them now. But we're not finished over here. We still have got one song what we're going to sing. But before we're going to sing the last song, I'm going to ask you a very random thing to do. Go and have a look somewhere, something in a room, somebody you do not know. Male, male, female, female. Just go to each other. Bless each other. Bless each other. But what I'm specifically asking, that you can see now at the moment, that you're going to ask or tell to the other person, this is the place where I would like to shine, where God is going to invite me, where God is going to send me, where God is going to use me, so that you can mention that you can share that with the other person. And I really would like you that mix, that you, those sitting on that side, go to that side. No, but you can't go, no. Mix, because otherwise if you move that way and you move that way, then we're back to square one. It doesn't help. But get somebody who you do not know. It's also a good time that you can learn the person to know. Bless the person, but first find out what is the area where the person would like to shine his light. Because there's always a place where you say, I would like to be more shining my light at work, to the neighbors, in the street, at university, wherever it is. Share it with the other person, and that the other person can speak a blessing over you. Because if there's one thing what we're doing not enough, is to speak a blessing over each other. Because that's such an awesome thing what we can do, an authority what God has given us, that we can speak a blessing over the other person. Because it's a message which is sending into the spiritual realm. And that's what we want to use. Shine God's light. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.